everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. WIT stands for Women in Tech, but this podcast is not only for women. It's for anyone who wants to learn about the latest news and experiences from working with the Microsoft 365 cloud services and apps, and with a special focus on SharePoint and Teams. I believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Hey listeners, welcome to episode 61 of the WIT Girls podcast. It's the 5th of January 2022. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year. I myself spent Christmas in Berlin, Germany, which is an awesome city, but a bit harder now in Corona times, of course. Lots of things were closed as it was Christmas, which was expected, and the receptionists at the hotel told us that nothing would be open, everything is closed. But luckily we did not listen to that and headed out into the city, and of course we found open clubs and pubs anyway. We had to show our COVID passes to get in anywhere, like into coffee shops, pubs and restaurants. And to some places we even had to show a physical ID too. And I don't walk around with my passport, and I did not bring my driver license, so we were rejected at one place to come in even. They also had a Corona tracing app that you had to scan if you went into a place, and some of them had tables with a QR code on it, so you had to scan where you were sitting and so on. The world is kind of a crazy place right now, but good things also happen, and I'm very happy to announce that on the 17th of January, I start my new position as a customer engineer at Microsoft here in Stockholm, Sweden. Yay! This has been one of my goals, and when they contacted me and asked if I would like to apply for this position, I could not resist, of course. And some interviews later, I got the job. And now it's finally time to start working there. And I have already met my new manager and colleagues, and they seem like an awesome team. So I'm so looking forward to this. A great start to the new year. I run this podcast because I believe that sharing is caring. And a few weeks ago, I was asked if I could share my work experience in an interview that some students would like to have, where they wanted to ask me about my career, what I thought they should focus on, and lots of other fun questions about what it's like to work as a consultant. They are studying at a specific Microsoft 365 program here in Sweden. It's a 2-year long education. And one of their teachers is my friend Christian Ståhl. Very cool education, and it was so much fun to meet these students and hear about their thoughts and questions for the future working with Microsoft 365. What I learned from them is that the Power Platform is a hot topic, and that is a good thing because that is my experience also out there working with customers, that Power Platform is really the thing to work with, and there are so many tracks in that you can specialize on, and I've seen that many more companies shows interest in this now. So very interesting to hear their stories and their views on things, and for them it was a reality check that they are on the right track, and they asked what I think they should focus on and so on. I love doing things like this to hopefully inspire and definitely share my knowledge and experience with the students. I will add a link to the education in the show notes if you are interested in reading more about what that is. My podcast colleague Mats Warnolf has a Swedish podcast called Office 365 Podden, in which I was a guest in some episodes ago, and I will add a link to that in the show notes. And I talk about my experiences with migration from file shares into SharePoint and OneDrive. And I recently experienced this in a customer's SharePoint online, just what I was talking about in his podcast. So they had literally moved their entire file share into one site in SharePoint without thinking about if the files are relevant anymore. No cleanup of paths, just a one-to-one migration of files. They had created different libraries at least, but all folder paths and all files were moved straight into this one and single only SharePoint site. When I saw that, I wish I could have stopped them before doing that and asked them to think a little bit about what they want to do with these files, about the information architecture before they moved everything like that. Besides, the permission model is not the same either, so this can be a dangerous step if you don't know what you are doing. Sensitive data can be exposed if you do a migration like that. And the effect is that the libraries are now so large so that people cannot navigate in them, they cannot find their files. You know how deep the folder structures can be on a file share. Well, now they have it in SharePoint, and that is not an easy way to find your files. Clicking back and forth in a browser is horrible. And the libraries, some of them contains like 50,000 documents and more. So it's not an easy task to start moving these files into a new site either. Although that is what they must do because they cannot keep the structure like this. They can't have everything on one big site. I sighed a bit when I saw this, and there were so many thoughts that popped up in my head. For instance, start over. Build a new root site and make that your intranet landing page. Then start adding your main sites, like a bit, start a bit simple. So you can follow either your organization structure like finance, HR and so on. Or if you have maybe a process-oriented structure, you can have sites according to that. This is something that the customers must define, as they know how their organization works and how people are used to finding files and so on. But you have some sort of structure from the file share, so you could actually incorporate that to begin with. Then when you have set up those sites, you can start moving out the files from this one single root site to the new sites and then add links to those from a mega menu. So once you have your site and information structure in place, you can then start adding content, you can add links in the mega menu, and you can add several links in the mega menu pointing to the same content. And what I mean by that is, let's say you want to add a link to employee information. Then you could have one link in your mega menu called Our Organization, where you have like headers for HR, header for finance and so on. And beneath that, you can find links to employee handbooks, application forms and so on. But then you can also have another node in the menu called My Employment. And there you would have the same links, but organized by another header like terms and conditions, traveling, terms for the employment and so on. So you can have the same links in a mega menu, but exposed in different ways because users might think differently when they want to find information. Not all of them knows that, okay, application form for leave will reside on an HR site. So that's why it could be good to also organize those links by the process in the company or by other group names so that people understand where they can find this information. But this is not a small project to take on. It's huge, both for users who are still in shock that they have to use a SharePoint or OneDrive site instead of a file share and are learning to work with that, or from Teams, of course. But also for the people administering this to understand how it works to work with SharePoint and document libraries and information structure and so on. So it is a huge step and a huge project actually to take on. And another thing to that is if you want to switch or and replace this old root site with a new intranet site, you have to think about that people might have synced files from the root site And that is what has happened in this case. They are so used to working in file shares, so immediately they went in to sync libraries. And I don't dare to think about how much they have synced since there were so many files in these libraries. I don't really see the reason why you would sync a lot of files these days. I mean, we have great bandwidth everywhere we go, unless you maybe travel or do something. But then please be careful what you sync, and just sync just the files you need to work with, so you don't synchronize an entire library. That's so not necessary. And all the sync issues that comes with that. But we need to be careful when switching a site, because I'm not really sure what's going to happen if people have synced a lot of files and we are switching to another default site. What will happen with the links? So this you need to inform your users about, really careful before you do that, so that everyone is aware that links might not work anymore from your Explorer view. If you have synchronized the files, then you might need to go in and do a new synchronization. And one other thing, you may not want to move everything. Could we do something else with our files rather than just stick them into a folder, deep folder structure? And you also have to think about that the file paths can turn too long when you have deep folder structures. So there are also some technical challenges with this. And when you move files, they cannot have special characters and stuff like that when you move it into a SharePoint site. And of course, you need also to think about the permission structure you have on your file shares. Because I know from experience when working with file shares that there are lots of broken inheritance everywhere. And maybe that's not always necessary to keep, but you need to think about it at least when you move into when you're moving your files. So if you are thinking about migrating your file shares into SharePoint, and that of course is a great way to go, but one tip can be to listen to Office 365 Pod, where we share the most common errors and what to think about before you start migrating. And I'm sorry, that's only in Swedish, I'm afraid. But you are welcome to contact me on witgirlspod@gmail.com if you have questions regarding file migrations. Over to some of the latest news from Microsoft 365. Microsoft is opening data centers here in Sweden. So you can apply to have your cloud data moved to another data center geo. So if you have your Microsoft 365 tenant and somewhere in Europe, you can apply for it to be moved into Sweden. And this is open for applications now. If you go into the admin center, you will find a link beneath organization settings, and under organization profile, there's a link called data residency. And if you wish to apply to make a move of your cloud data, then you need to do this before the end of June 2022. And I have made this request. So I checked the box where it says, I want my organization's core customer data at rest to migrate to Sweden by June 2024. So I don't know when this will take place or how long it will take to move the data that is being migrated in the background. But I got a message confirming that the move will take place and that it will be completed by June 2024. That's a long time until then. But they will notify me in the message center as the moves for each service finish. So you can follow the migration in Admin Center. And you can also always check the data location page in Admin Center to see the current data where it is residing. New lists entry point in the SharePoint app bar. So, you know, we have this global navigation, that light gray menu to the left on in SharePoint. In there, they will add a link to Microsoft Lists. You have your sites, news, files, and then there will also be a button for lists. This makes it easier to access and view your lists from the SharePoint app bar. The only thing that won't be visible is lists that belongs to an individual person and have not been shared with others. They will not be accessible. There is space for much more also in that menu, so who knows, maybe more things are coming into that global navigation bar. Over to some SharePoint editing news. Private drafts for SharePoint pages and news. You know, when you are several editors on a site, you can see each other's drafts. But with this new feature, you will be able to create private drafts for pages and news posts. And a private draft is visible only to the page author and the people the author chooses to share it with. It's great for creating and editing content that's not ready for others to see, except the people you want to collaborate with. And related to editing pages, now you can see a frame and a label around each web part on the page when you hover over them. And it tells you what type of web part you have added information into. Pairing naming convention between Teams channels and corresponding SharePoint folders. This news means that when you rename a channel in Teams, the corresponding folder in the connected SharePoint document library will also be renamed. So let's say you are in Teams and you rename a channel from Project to Project 1. If you go into SharePoint and look at the library there, it will still be named Project and not Project 1. But now this will all happen automatically. So when you change the name of a channel in Teams, the connected folder in SharePoint will also be renamed. And that is good because it avoids confusion so that you know which channel belongs to which folder in SharePoint. And this renaming is also, of course, for private channels. So if you rename a private channel, the corresponding folder in SharePoint will also be renamed. Migrate SharePoint 2010 and 2013 workflows to Power Automate. Cool. This is coming in to the summer here in June. The ability to migrate SharePoint-based workflows to Power Automate. So you will be able to migrate out of the box now we're talking about, not maybe if you have added custom workflow actions, for instance, they may not be migrated. But if you are using out of the box workflows, for instance, approval workflows or other types built in SharePoint Designer, you can migrate those to Power Automate. Initially, you will have to use PowerShell, but they will add this feature to the SharePoint migration tool also. This is cool. I would love to test the migration of this and see how that works and turns out, and how much do you have to change after the migration, and will it be worth the effort, or will it be faster to just build the same workflow from scratch in Power Automate? It all depends, of course, on the complexity of your workflows. But there are so many ready-built templates in Power Automate, so maybe sometimes it's faster to set up a new workflow instead of migrating and maybe run into trouble and errors. I don't know. That would be interesting to find out. You are listening to the WIT Girls podcast. If you like us, we would be so happy if you could give us a 5-star rate in iTunes. It helps us reach more listeners. Thank you for listening. Create and manage verticals in Microsoft Search. This update will allow search administrators to create and modify out-of-the-box and custom search verticals. So what are they? A search vertical are the tabs on the search result page that shows results of a specific type or from selected sources. So when you search in Microsoft 365 and you click on the link More Search Results, then you will end up on the search result page, and there you will see the verticals at the top of this page. For example, files is a vertical, sites is a vertical, people is another vertical, and so on. And now you can add your own verticals. for maybe a system or another connector where you would like to bring in search results from to your users. For example, you could create a vertical for marketing related content and another for sales based on the type of information that department site has. You can add verticals to show results from content indexed by the graph or from SharePoint. You need to go into Search and Intelligence Center, and there you will find a link called Verticals under Customizations. Time for some Teams news. Hide your own video in Teams meetings. So currently, you cannot hide your own video when you are in a meeting. So there will be a new menu beneath your video icon where you can choose to pin the video, hide the video, or put yourself in spotlight for everyone. Yeah, obviously people find it stressful to see themselves during a meeting and it can be a bit distracted. I know when I'm in a meeting sometimes I end up staring at myself, just checking the hair or doing something. So while you're presenting, I can understand that this is quite distracting. So that would be good. So you can choose to hide the video. And if you want to show it again, you will see like a part of the video. So you can click on the small arrow there and bring out that menu and show the video again. Because I still think it's good to have the video on. Especially when you're presenting, it's so boring to look at either someone's profile picture or even worse, the initials. It's just a dead picture, you're staring right into it. So I think it's good to keep the video on, and I can understand that some people think it's not so fun to look at yourself when you're talking or presenting. So this is a very good option to help people use video more in meetings. So we want to see each other. That's the whole purpose of having a video meeting, I think. But it's more fun. It brings more life to the meetings if everyone has the camera on, I think. Next Teams news is chat with users with Teams personal accounts. So they are extending the collaboration by enabling Teams users to chat with team members outside the work network and that has a personal account. So you will be able to invite any Teams user to a chat using either an email address or a phone number. Now, IT admins will have the option to enable or disable this at the tenant and individual user level with two controls. So one, they can control to enable or disable the entire functionality. And if it's disabled, neither users in your organization and users in their personal accounts will be able to chat with each other. Two, the admins can control to define if Teams users with a personal account can start a chat or add users from your organization to a chat. And if it's disabled, only users in your organization will be able to start a chat or add users with their personal accounts. But note, settings will be default on, which I think is great. We want to be able to chat with anyone, not just our colleagues. I want to be able to chat with friends and family. But if you want to opt out from this functionality, you have to do that via the Teams Admin Center. And there is an external access section there where you can switch that off. Optionally, you can use PowerShell, of course. And that was all the news I had this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learning something, hopefully. And please contact me if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Take care and thank you so much for listening. Cheers! If you like the show, I would be so happy if you would rate and subscribe to it in iTunes, Spotify, Podcaster, or any other podcast app you use. It means a lot to me as it helps me reach more listeners. If you have any feedback, questions, or guest suggestions, you can contact me on witgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Instagram on the account @witgirlspod or visit witgirlspodcast.podbean.com. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. take care. Cheers.